Intuition is this natural ability to tap into energy that is otherwise inaccessible through the main five senses.
It's kind of like a compass, and north in this instance is pointing to your most authentic self. Intuitive spirituality is a term that I've come up with recently in response to my Uber riders asking me what my spirituality is. It seems like everyone wants to put a label on everything, which I'm already aware of. And if you've been listening to this podcast, then you've become aware of that too. So I have a little sign hanging on the back of my headrest that says, like self-improvement podcasts, scan this code. And it has a picture of the question everything cover and a QR code right next to it. I don't think I've gained any lifelong listeners from it. There's this weird thing called the stage effect. You should look it up because it's easy to explain, but I don't want to explain it. So yeah, I'm not expecting anyone to become a fan, but it's really just there for awareness, and it gives me practice talking about it, which is also funny to say because it's like, oh, you can talk about something for an hour unscripted, but then you need practice talking about your podcast. And it turns out that I do. Not only do I need practice with that, but I also need practice talking about my spirituality and my philosophy on things. People are always wanting, give me some advice. And I'm like, well, that depends on where you're at in your life. It depends on what challenges you have. Depends on how stubborn you are. They also go, they're like, oh, what's your podcast about? I'm like, oh, it's like philosophy, spirituality. Sometimes if I can tell the person is like more interested, I'll give them more. So I'll say, well, I am exploring human meaning in the age of AI. But typically I just say philosophy and spirituality. And if they dig further, then I'll dig further with them. So then they go, oh, what kind of spirituality? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? I think I know what they mean. And they typically mean the same thing every time, which is like, what religion are you? Like, what do you do that I can identify and put in a box that is the label of a religion or religious practice? And when I don't really give them that, they tend to just not ask any more questions, which is so funny. What a very weird thing to experience firsthand. So I want to talk about intuitive spirituality because that has become my answer more frequently. It doesn't have any giant religion attached to it. Therefore, it doesn't have a bunch of very specific boxes that I have to check attached to it. Really, it's just what I'm feeling represents my approach to spirituality. So I use the word intuitive for a reason. The church that I grew up in did anything but nurture my connection with my intuition. In fact, anytime there was any thought in my head, it was either the spirit prompting me or Satan tempting me. And that is a really sick way to live. Taking all of your insights, and let me be clear, not every thought you have is an insight. Some thoughts are impulsive, and some thoughts are premeditated and are not good. So that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that, especially on the good end of things, you take these insights and you're downloading this amazing information from God, the universe, because you're open. And you immediately write it off as, oh, the spirit told it to me. Like, the spirit prompted me to do this thing. And it's like, well, like, why are you diminishing your input in this? And they treat it as if, so in the LDS church, the Mormon church, the church I grew up in, everyone basically receives the same types of promptings that are just recycled over and over. And there's, again, there's no room for intuition. There's no room for individuality. The Spirit prompts you to send a message to somebody saying that God loves you, or the Spirit prompts you to bake some cookies and go bring it to the, and look, like, those are good things. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that I rarely ever heard a story where someone was prompted to do something unique or prompted with some unique insight. And even then, they gave all the credit away as if they weren't the one that was open and receptive enough and who had done enough work in their life to receive this insight and actually perceive it as valuable and have the perspective to talk about it in a way that's helpful to other people. This was so extremely rare, and I knew that something was wrong. There's a reason why I felt worthless during that part of my life, a huge part of my life. Everything was outsourced. Now let's talk about the flip side. Let's talk about the temptations. Whenever you have a thought to do something that you know isn't good, that is not the devil trying to take you down to hell. It's not the devil trying to pull you away from God. It is just you having a brain that doesn't always think of the best things. Your brain is a meat computer, and it has flaws just like everything else. It doesn't mean that you're an evil person. In fact, typically, the threshold or the where we draw the line is at our actions, right? Nobody knows the sick thoughts that go inside your head. And most people will never know the horrible things that other people think. We all pretend like we're all normal, but we're not. We, even if it's a little flash of something twisted and demented, we all have these thoughts that we wish we didn't have. Now, I mentioned in a previous episode how I'm exploring this idea that maybe we are in full control of not just what we do, but also what we think, that we can actually control the thoughts that enter our head through the law of attraction and through matching your vibration with the thoughts that you want to have. I'm not sure how confident I am in that theory, but it's a fun theory regardless. Just a fun idea to play around with. But what the reality of the situation is that me in my life right now, I don't have full control over the thoughts that enter my head. I wish that I did, but I don't. And here's the problem with outsourcing that to the father of lies or the king of the underworld, is that you remove accountability and you also instill an unhealthy amount of fear within you and within other people. If you don't like the bad thoughts that enter your head, and you are told or you believe that it's some demon that's putting them in there, what escape do you have? What safety is there? Oh, wait. Now you need to turn to God or to Christ for safety from that thing. And the only way that you can access that properly is through church. And then we introduce the law of tithing and everything else. Yippee, it's the religious machine. So you have to have something to run from in order to have a reason to run to the thing that they want you to run to. So it's this really vicious cycle where anything bad that comes in your head is a demon trying to get you. And then anything good that comes into your head, you're literally just like this, you're like this empty vessel that like these all powerful beings can throw ideas into. And it's basically just like gambling to see which one you're going to do, to see which one you're going to align with. It's like taking a step back from all of it. It's so weird. And so I'm fleshing this out, one for myself, because I have deconstructed a lot of this already, but I just realized some new things while talking about it, which is great. But I'm also doing this so that we can understand each other better and so that you can understand where I'm coming from when I say intuitive spirituality. That word intuitive holds a lot of weight. So that's the environment that I grew up in. That's the culture that I grew up in. Those are the beliefs that I grew up surrounded by. But what about now? Well, one of the reasons why I left that religion is because I knew that there was something else that was guiding me. I knew that there was something else driving me, and it wasn't these polar opposite, all-powerful beings just like playing a game with throwing ideas in my head. I knew that it was something else. And that thing is intuition. Now, a lot of religious people have twisted this, go figure, they've twisted this idea of intuition into something blasphemous. They always use this line from the Bible, which is, lean not unto thine own understanding. I don't remember what book it's from. I don't care. They use that line all the time. And it is so misplaced and unfair. Because I'm not like, first of all, I'm not the one acting like I know everything. I'm not the one holding up a book and saying, ha, see, I have all the answers. All of the mysteries of the universe are solved because of this book. And even the things that I can't explain, I don't need to. I don't need to know. I wasn't meant to know those things. I just need to blindly trust. And if you are someone who believes in the Bible and are listening to this, I'm sorry. You can either leave the episode or you can think about what I'm saying. And again, you could be right. Like, you could be right, and I could be totally wrong. I acknowledge that. Can you acknowledge that? So, man, I'm allowed to get worked up every once in a while. They use that verse, lean not unto thine own understanding. And I think that that verse has been abused. I would like to imagine that if Jesus said something like that, that what he meant was there are so many intricacies in the universe and the way that things operate in reality. And it's okay for you to have goals. It's okay for you to have a vision. It's okay for you to have desires. But when you have a concrete idea on how things have to go. So for instance, let's say you want to get a job, and in your mind, this is the perfect job for you, and this company is going to lead you to the next phase of your life, and the income is going to allow for all of these great things, and you start constructing this very strict, specific, narrow view of reality around this one little thing, which is you getting a job. And then what happens when you don't get the job? You're super disappointed. Maybe you're anxious. Maybe you're angry. You're sad. This entire reality that you've constructed around this thing that wasn't real yet is crumbling around you, and you're upset. And I would like to imagine that that verse, lean not unto thine own understanding, is referring to that, which is that, hey, you don't always know the best way for things to work out. The job scenario that I just described is something that happened to me last year around this time. I found a job that I was really excited about. It aligned with a lot of the things that I had been interested in. And I was like, this was my first attempt at manifesting. And I ended up telling people about it, which now I know is a huge mistake when manifesting. The evil eye thing is, you know, that blue, like, evil eye. It's not representing evil. It's just saying, hey, manifest in private. Because as soon as you're trying to manifest with eyes on you, as in you telling your manifestations to people, you allow their consciousness to impact the outcome of that manifestation. And most people don't want you to do better than them. So they're not actually going to be rooting for you, even if they say they love you. That's another harsh reality. Some people will. Some people will send you good energy. But again, that's what the evil eye is for. So I told too many people, and look at me now. I obviously didn't get that job. And I think that I handled it well, but I was bummed. And here's the thing. Because I didn't get that job, I was able to like really fully lean into my podcast, which has led me now to a bunch of other things, including new connections through the job I do have, which is Uber. And then also writing. Like I'm writing music more. I'm just writing more in general. I feel so much more in touch with my authentic self and my creativity. And that's because I didn't get that job that I thought was going to be the portal to this new life. So in that moment, I needed to not lean on my own understanding of the best way for things to happen, because God, the universe, there is a greater understanding there with the intricacies of the way reality operates. And if something doesn't go your way, it's because something even better is going to come from it. And you have to trust that. Don't blindly trust it, but at least give it a shot for a while. At least try it. So this verse is taken and used as a way to dismiss relying on yourself and trusting yourself in an intuitive way. And it's seen as blasphemy. It's honestly, it's sickening. And it's sickening because people have been conditioned to use that verse to push themselves further into this void of not having any identity or any sort of connection with their intuition. So that's what all of that means to me. Intuition is this natural ability that all humans have to tap into a sense that is not strictly physical. We have sight, we have hearing, we have touch, smell, taste. We have all these five basic senses. And then Bob Proctor, who I discovered recently, I was listening to a podcast episode that he was on. He's done a lot of work in the manifestation space. Now, he's just a random guy. I don't know him. I really liked some of the stuff that he was saying, but I'm not telling you to like follow him religiously, because I don't know him, and I haven't heard enough from him to endorse it in that way. But he was talking about I think it was 5 or 7 higher faculties, and one of those faculties is intuition, and then there's perspective, imagination, and so on. I don't remember all of them. But intuition is an ability that we were all born with. So if you believe in God, which I do, just not in a traditional sense, then you believe that this is a gift that was given to us, or it's not even a gift. It's not like something you didn't have before that was given to you. Maybe it's just a part of your nature. Are a tiger's claws a gift, or is it natural for them to have claws? I don't know. It's a good question. So you have this natural ability to tap into energy that is otherwise inaccessible through the main five senses. That's incredible. And that should not be undermined in any circumstance. But it takes practice. It takes practice to get in touch with your intuition. It takes practice to learn to trust yourself, especially after growing up in a religion that taught you to do the opposite, that taught you to hate yourself, fear yourself, despise yourself, and turn to something invisible and external to make you feel better. That's hard, but it's possible. So it's really about just turning inward and tapping into the, it's not quite a physical feeling, because again, it goes beyond physical, but it's also not quite a clearly defined thought that would pop into your head. Interesting. Divined thought. I mean, play on words, but that's kind of what it's like. So it's like a mix of both, and it's neither at the same time. This intuition, you kind of feel it like tugging at you, but you also have some semblance of thoughts that are materializing around that feeling that kind of guide you in the direction that you need to go. And again, this isn't in a way of like not having any free will and like you have to do the thing. It's more of just like, hey, this is, it's kind of like a compass, and north in this instance is pointing to your most authentic self. And so if you want to follow this compass, whenever you're turned around, like close your eyes, turn inward, and notice where this compass is pointing. And you have a choice to go in that direction or not. And honestly, I believe if you don't, like everything will be fine. But if you do follow this compass, then you can be led to something that you can't currently imagine, which is the whole point. That is the lean not unto thine own understanding. You don't understand how incredible things can be for you if you just trust your intuition. If this is uncomfortable for you, just spin it a different way. Like it's all about perspective, which is another one of the higher faculties. Just spin it another way. You can say, this feeling, right? Let's call it intuition. This intuition is God speaking directly to me. Okay. Like I can't tell you that I don't believe that. Like I think that's very possible. A lot of times when I think of my intuition, I think of a connection with higher knowledge. So there you go. And that's what I also mean by this intuitive spirituality is you don't have to box everything in. It doesn't have to be black or white. You can drop this dualist point of view and realize that there's more than one option for things. It gives you more room to just be a human, to be a creative being. And it's funny, when I was thinking about recording this episode this morning, I typically think of my topics like the day of, like the morning of. I was thinking about my actual response that I give people, and I was just going to tell you that first, but I ended up giving like a lot more context and learning more for myself about what I even mean by intuitive spirituality. So a necessary detour, but let me give you an example of what it looks like practically. So there are different ways to, again, label the way that somebody goes about things. For instance, you have yogis. A yogi is someone who is like super into yoga. You have psychonauts, people who are super into psychedelics. I could go on, but you get the idea. I'm interested in yoga. I'm interested in psychedelics. I'm interested in exercise. I'm interested in meditation. I'm interested in journaling. I'm interested in grounding or being in nature. Those are all things that I incorporate into my spirituality. But I might not do them at the frequency or intensity that would earn me the label of yogi or monk or psychonaut. So a lot of people, when they pick up yoga, they're like, oh, this is good for me. I need to do this every day because it's good for me. And it's like, yeah, if you want to do that, that's great. If you don't, that's also fine. And that's where I'm at. I am operating my spirituality. I'm going about my spiritual practices in an intuitive way. I don't have a specific schedule for them. For me, it's interesting, being an earth sign, I do like stability. I thrive in stability, but I also get extremely bored when things are the same. And so it's this very difficult thing to balance because I need the structure, but it can't be exactly the same all the time or I will literally go insane. And I'm not even, like, I'm willing to acknowledge that that might not just be an earth sign, that might just be a human thing. I know people can get annoying with astrology, so like I'll acknowledge that. But from the patterns I've noticed with astrology, it's pretty commonly known that earth signs, they do, especially Tauruses, do really well with stability. But it has to be stability that you create for yourself. It has to be consistency that you create, not consistency or stability that's forced on you. So it's a very important thing. Some people don't like making all those decisions, which is why most people, they're not entrepreneurs. They just do a normal job. And there's nothing wrong with that. It gives them the stability. Like, oh, what it would be like to every week know how much money is going to come in and just not have to think about my schedule. I just go to work when I'm told. Like, sometimes that seems nice, but I've tried that and it drives me crazy. So I instead create my own schedule now. So another detour has now been completed, but the reason why I brought that up is because I do yoga when I feel like it. And I trust myself enough to know that if I don't feel like it, it's not because I'm being lazy. I'm not lazy. I'm literally always doing something productive. I'm peeling back a little bit the past couple months, and it's been nice to like just take breaks, have a day off. I'm doing better at caring for myself in that way, and that's another intuitive spirituality thing. So I don't do yoga every day. I do it when I want to. When it's been long enough where I'm like, you know what? I really want to do yoga again. Then I do it. Sometimes I do it 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row. And then I leave it. I come to it when I need it because I trust myself to know when I need it. It's the same with meditation. I very rarely sit down and just like close my eyes and meditate in the typical sense. Meditation for me, a lot of times, is in the evening, turning on some ambient music and either writing one of my cosmic optimism pieces, which if you're interested in reading those, then you can go to my Substack. It's just nolanvoid.substack.com. I can write those, which really it's kind of like journaling for me, but just in a more dramatic philosophical way. Other times I'm just getting ready for bed. I'm taking it slow. And I'm ambient music, I've talked about it on another episode, how ambient music changed my life. So check that episode out. It's just a couple episodes ago. But like that's meditation for me. It doesn't have to be the way that it always looks, the way that you always think. And I don't do that every night either. I do it more often than yoga because it's easier and it gives me similar benefits, not physically, but mentally. So there's that. And then psychedelics, well, I'll use at least the legal one as an example. Marijuana is not technically classified as a psychedelic. It's actually a lot of things. It's kind of a depressant. It's kind of a stimulant. It's kind of a hallucinogen. It's very, very weird. Marijuana is like, it's like the gender fluid drug. And I say drug not in a derogatory way, but just like that's what everyone calls it. So it's a plant. It's a medicine. And I should call it that. I actually had like my first real psychedelic experience on an edible, like a gummy. And it was crazy. I can talk about that another time, but I'm pretty mindful about my use of that. Like we have quite a few gummies at home. We have like two different kinds right now. And I take a portion of one, maybe like every other week, sometimes less, sometimes more. It just depends. But I'm just intuitive about it. You know, I know that the next morning I do wake up a little bit more foggy, and people are like, oh, well, that, like, I don't know. I can imagine my family. Well, that means it's bad for you. It's like, no, like I've gained a lot of insights and had a lot of really enjoyable experiences on edibles. And like, I'm gonna do that for that experience. And I just understand, hey, like if you have a really like great moment of clarity, or you have a period of time where you can sense things at a higher level, it makes sense that it would also kind of like make you a little bit more tired. It's the same thing with watching a movie. Like you stimulate your eyes and your ears by watching a movie. And like when the movie's over, the last thing you want to do is watch another movie. So you go to bed and you're like, yeah, I don't need to watch a movie. It's the same thing. So I go about it in an intuitive way. And without telling you every little detail of my spiritual practices, really what I would like you to get out of this is to just trust yourself. If there are certain things that seem spiritual to you that you're interested in, pursue them. And like, do what I do if you want. Like, if you want to hyper-obsess over the thing for a little bit, and then kind of like, oh man, I maybe hyper-obsessed a little bit too much. And then you like take a break and then you come back to it with like a more healthy approach. That's fine. It's not that big of a deal. I was like trying to do yoga every day and I was like it was a little too much. And I was like, yeah, this is crazy. And same with ambient music. Sometimes I'm listening to it a little too much and I'm like, yo, I need a break either from listening to music altogether or I need to listen to some quote unquote normal music. Like it's not that big of a deal. That's the other thing. Just remember that like it's not that serious. The whole idea is to not put so much pressure on yourself. Labels apply pressure. Expectations apply pressure. And the thing is, you can point the finger all you want, but you're the one responsible for that pressure. So do something about it. And for me, the answer to that is intuitive spirituality, where I operate in my daily life, trusting myself more, listening to others less, and doing what I feel I need to do, and also doing what I want to do without guilting myself into thinking that doing something I wanted to do was somehow an evil thing. I want to do good by people. I want to be good to people. I want to just be good in general. And I trust myself enough to know that 98% of the time, I am doing that. So I don't need to freak out if I did something I wanted to do. Most likely, it wasn't a bad thing to do. So that is my scatterbrained guide to intuitive spirituality. I appreciate you guys listening. I'm making the transition from full-time Uber driver to full-time writer. My goal is to reach 1,000 paid subscribers on my Substack, which would allow me to do it full time, which has been a dream for a long time. Check out my Substack. I have a free newsletter. It will arrive in your inbox every Sunday. And it's just practical tips. Sometimes it's condensed ideas from podcast episodes. Sometimes it's other things, but it's practical, useful information to help you grow in your personal life. So you can subscribe to my newsletter for free. Again, nolanvoid.substack.com. And then I have some other things on there as well, including Transcendia, which is an ambient world-building project. I've been in love with fantasy forever. And I'm finally doing something that combines all of my passions for that. And I'm proud of it. I think it's so cool. And I just released the first track for it. So you can listen to a preview of that as a free subscriber. Just go to nolanvoid.substack.com. Thank you so much for listening. And I will catch you guys on the next one.